Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this meeting of the Camden Independent Hearing and Assessment Planning Panel. I'm the Chair, Stuart McDonald, and I'll just introduce the other panel members. But before I do that, I'd like to do an acknowledgement of country. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land on which we meet and pay our respects to elders both past and present. The other panel members sitting today are on my far left, Dean Boone, who is a community representative on behalf of the Camden community. On my immediate left is Mary Lynn Taylor, who is a independent expert member, and on my right is Rachel Harrison, who is also an independent external member. Today we have five items on the agenda, and I'll run through those items in a moment and outline how this meeting will proceed today. I should just advise you at the outset that this meeting is being recorded, that under the Camden's local planning panel operation procedures, it's being recorded by council staff for publication on the council's website, and that no other recording by video, camera or any other electronic device is approved or allowed for this meeting. And that is a reminder to me and to everyone just to make sure your phone is either off or on silent, if you wouldn't mind. I'll call on members to provide to this public meeting any declarations of interest, if they could publicly disclose those.
I have no declaration to make.
I do have a declaration to make. It's in relation to item 3, 16 Podium Way, Oran Park.
Thank you. When we get to that item, I will ask Mr. Boone that you absent yourself from the room and the discussion, and I can inform all those in attendance that in the preliminary preparation for today's meeting that Mr. Boone's had no involvement in any discussion on that matter, having earlier disclosed to me his conflict of interest.
And I have no conflicts to disclose.
Thank you. I would like to declare that I have a conflict in relation to a matter that is not on the public agenda, but the panel is today considering two recommendations from council staff in relation to planning proposals, as I say, that are not a part of the public meeting. But in relation to the matter at Raby Road, that I have a conflict and I will take no part in the panel's consideration and recommendation to the council in relation to that matter. I should also just advise the public here that as of today, the Minister for Planning has determined that all panel members sitting on planning panels must also provide signed declarations of interest, whether they have an interest or no interest in a matter, and we have all done that in relation to today's agenda items. And I understand, well, this is a very new provision, only came in today, I understand that those declarations will be compiled by the Department of Planning for records, for their records as well. All right. The format for today is that we will hear from those people that have registered to speak on particular items. And at the moment, we only have speakers in relation to one item, and that is the first item on the agenda, which is 12 Purcell Street, Elderslie. We have Mr. Carter and Mr. Smith have registered to speak. Are both those gentlemen here? Good, thank you. They're the only two registered speakers, but is there anyone else who hasn't registered to speak but was hoping or intending to speak on any item today? No? Okay, thank you. As I said, we will hear from speakers, and in this case, there's only those two speakers in relation to one item. Then we will work through the remainder of the agenda, which in order, as they appear on the business paper, the second item is alterations and additions to a childcare centre at 12 Harrington Street, Elderslie. The third item is a subdivision application with construction of attached dwellings at 16 Podium Way, Oran Park. That's the matter for which Mr. Boone has the conflict of interest. Item four, which is a Torrens Title subdivision and construction of houses at 24 Cape York Street, Gregory Hills. And the fifth and last development application on today's agenda is the construction of a deck and awning at 8 Stewart Drive, Oran Park. Given that, as I said earlier, there are speakers only in relation to those first two that first item, the two speakers, I think what we might do is hear from those speakers, then the panel may briefly adjourn just to, after having heard those presentations, to consider our decision and then come back as quickly as possible and announce our decision, and then we'll move on to the other matters. So given that there's speakers only in relation to that one matter. The panel may also, just so people are aware, depending on matters that are raised either in the submissions or that questions that the panel themselves may have, we may call upon council officers to provide more information and answer questions as well. So if that occurs, it'll be just for the purpose of assisting the panel. So without any further ado, I'll ask Mr. Carter to come forward. If you wouldn't mind coming forward to that seat there, thank you. Speakers have 4 minutes. Just take a seat, if you wouldn't mind. Mr. Erkin will just help you there. Thank you. So if you could firstly just confirm your address and then go on to tell us your outline your concerns. Thank you.
My address is 10 Purcell Street, Elderslie. Good afternoon, panel. My name is Matthew Carter-Ajaya. I live directly next door to the proposed DA at 12 Purcell Street, Elderslie. I oppose the DA for the following reasons and support Council's recommendation for refusal. The proposed DA does not comply with the minimum side setback of 5 metres for RU1 zoning and will result in a negative visual outlook of my property and also will cast further shadow over my backyard. It also increases a possible conflict of land uses due to the proposed development's minimum separation between properties, especially if the shed is to be used as a workshop. The property already consists of a large outbuilding with a council variation of a 1 metre side setback, and do not see why another variation should be approved considering the property is approximately 100 metres wide where the new DA is proposed. My biggest concern is the design of the shed does not appear fit for purpose for storing multiple wheeled items, as also outlined in the council report on numerous occasions. The design is almost identical to the previous application DA for a sort of boarding kennel or keeping of greyhounds. And while the intention is to store farm equipment now, it could be potentially be used as a boarding kennel in the future and therefore should be sited with the furthest distance in mind. The property is over 12 acres and has multiple locations for the outbuilding to be sited while complying with council requirements. The flood impacts have not fully been addressed, and therefore further studies and supporting documentation should be submitted before approving the DA. Due to the large number of objecting submissions council received, I hope that the panel's decision is in favour of the community's best interest. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Just stay there if you wouldn't mind. Do any of the panel members have any questions?
No, thank you.
No questions.
Thanks, Mr. Carter. Just while you're resuming your seat and before I ask Mr. Smith to come up, I did neglect to point out that we had visited all of the sites this morning. And so we have some understanding of the relationship of the proposed shed with the adjoining properties. And I should also have mentioned that the panel has been provided with the assessment report on each of these matters and copies of any submissions that written submissions that have been received by the council. So we do have all of that information in front of us, and we've been briefed by the council staff on these matters as well. Mr. Smith, please come forward.
Good afternoon, and thank you for reviewing the DA and providing me with an opportunity to speak. I've supplied a myriad of information supporting the application and will specifically address the pertinent points in the document that is tabled. Initially, I would like to address the reason that we're here before the panel, that is the receipt of 10 plus submissions. By reference to the Act, the definition for a submission to be considered a submission is that it be relevant and specific to the application. Clearly, you will have seen that this is not the case, as the majority of submissions are uninformed, uneducated, and/or blatant fictitious reports based on an anonymous letter as to the number of grains that I currently have and are likely to have in the future. It should further be noted that in addition to the anonymous mail drop, a certain resident has conducted regular door knocks and even offered to complete letters on behalf of other residents. As alluded to, the majority of submissions are factually incorrect and are insubmissible. However, one particular submission is frighteningly similar to the report tabled, that it could in fact be considered an executive summary of same. I hereby ask on public record, if a council employee or associate has a vested interest in the DA, then this be declared now in front of the panel. My understanding from a legal perspective is that the names and addresses of the submissors will be made available in the event the matter is escalated to the Land and Environment Court, and I have been advised to raise this issue in this forum. I understand the rumours spread have caused alarm amongst ill-informed neighbours. However, it should also be said on record that there are no excuses for the blatant invasion of privacy of having a drone surveying my property and family's movements for hours on end, days on end, weeks on end. This can be verified by any number of unrelated parties, some of whom, to my knowledge, have approached the perpetrator directly and also local authorities. To date, I've made no such complaint, but be it known that this behaviour is totally unacceptable and any aerial photography supplied by this user should be withdrawn and deemed insubmissible. Stacey Hulison, a member of the council planning team, when initially appointed to the case, openly admitted at a face-to-face meeting with me that council were aware that they were in receipt of multiple submissions written by the same individual and that council were aware that this practice was obvious. I will now move on to the key issues relating to the refusal of the application. However, before outlining my response to these issues, I feel it pertinent to address my disappointment in the handling of this application. The advice that I received from the initial planners assigned to the case, ironically, is now forming a key part of why Matthew is recommending refusal of the application. Examples include being told to allow for the construction of a veranda to aesthetically align with the local setting. However, in the report prepared by Matthew, the inclusion of the veranda has been noted as being unfit for purpose. Another example is the advice not to move soil to build up the area in front of the proposed shed. As such, the initial plan includes only one garage roller door. And again, the tabled report suggests that having one garage door makes the proposed shed unfit for purpose. Despite this, it would seem the majority of sheds in the Camden area only have one singular garage door access. On this note, I will now address the four non-compliance items of the Camden DCP development controls. Working chronologically through each of these four items is difficult, as they do appear to overlap, so I do apologise in advance if I'm being repetitive. D1.1, that the building is not fit for purpose. The Oxford Dictionary defines storage as the act of putting something in a place until it is needed. The proposed shed is simply four walls with several access points, including a roller door. Are we saying this construction is incapable of storage? There has been some confusion as to what will be stored in the shed, as the items listed in the report are items which are currently not in undercover storage, but which I would like in storage. It was stipulated to Matthew that some of these items would go in the existing shed, whilst other items from the existing shed would be moved to the proposed shed. Whilst proving the intended use of the shed appears speculative to certain individuals...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
That phone ringing was intentional, as opposed to the earlier one. That's your four-minute warning. Well, it's your 4 minutes, so if you could...
Can I say I was told I had 15 minutes?
I'm happy to give you more time. I'm just letting you know what that was. But yep.
I don't have too long to go, but
no,
I was told 15 minutes.
Look,
my
we've
apologies.
Only got the two speakers, so that's fine. You take as long as you need.
Okay, thank you. Well, whilst proving the intended use of the shed appears speculative to certain individuals, here lies my biggest disappointment with council. I used a reputable company, Designscape, to assist and lodge the DA. The proprietor, Kylie Harmer, in fact attended council meetings at my expense in an effort to reach an outcome as efficiently as possible. When I engaged the company services, I was unaware of any regulations for a DA, having never gone through the process before. I simply requested a building replicating the shed that I currently have, only in brick, and from here the plans were drawn. I was made aware of certain breaches the plan had in a letter received from Matthew Rawson dated 9th May 2018. At this stage, I amended the plans. I removed the patio, I reduced the size to under 100 square metres, I included an additional garage door, I removed windows, I removed the drain. Again, this was the council's recommendation to have the drain, hence another example of conflicting information I received from council. I received an email response from Matthew at 8:32 a.m. on the 14th of June 2018 stating, "Thanks, David, I have received your marked plans below. I will seek some direction from council management on how best to proceed with the DA from here." Yet now at ratepayers' expense, we are sitting here looking at the initial plan and a recommendation for a refusal based on this, when I've made every adjustment requested in to bring the proposed shed to a state which is fit for purpose in the eyes of council. I truly find this bewildering, and as from day dot, I've proactively sought assistance from council and had a meeting with the town planner to appease the interest of council. The issue overlaps with the non-compliance to clause 7.1 flood planning. I was charged a significant sum by ROC Engineering for a flood impact statement, which the table document says addresses most things but not all. To me, it seems fairly obvious when the FIS outlines that it is expected the building will be inundated internally in the flood event, that the builders will meet these structural requirements or else certification will not be issued. There is the major reason the proposed shed would be built in brick, as this was the initial advice received from the town planner at the front desk. The other related issue is the air conditioning system being below the flood planning level. This seems incredibly minor issue, given there are people living in demountable houses, all air conditioned, and far below the level of the proposed shed at the caravan park two properties along, all of which would be washed away before the shed gets wet. There are nearby petrol stations, amenity buildings, restaurants and commercial sheds all at lower points. Can you really believe we're holding a meeting over this issue in relation to a proposed air conditioner? I propose a simple solution, that we replace the air conditioner with a ceiling fan. The one and only issue my amended plans did not address was the site setback. I requested Matthew actually visit the site before making a determination on this matter. The intended site, without any shadow of doubt, causes the least visual impact to the majority of my neighbours. Moving it to the northern side of the property would actually suit me, as it wouldn't be driving heavy machinery over the partition yard that I have. Also, given that I have young children with young friends, the northern border would make a perfect site for me. Unfortunately, though, this would impact on the view of the properties at this end that are adjacent to my property, and I have done my best to minimise the visual impacts to others. But surely on a 12.5-acre lot, I'm entitled to one shed. I'm aware that my property is unique in that it provides an attractive backdrop for neighbouring residences. But what are their actual rights to this? Obviously, reading the submissions, some believe they have more rights to my land than I do. I do wish my direct neighbour was more considerate when building a triple garage that blocks the view of my own property. But at the end of the day, they own it, a minor detail that occasionally we should acknowledge. But I am happy to move the shed as needed, and obviously if it's annoying a neighbour, I'm happy to move that. So what is the way forward? Given that I just want a shed, and I've already submitted the changes, which addresses every concern outlined in the table document, I've spent over $13,000 on reports. A person of sound mind could assume that I will relodge with the changes I've already processed. In due course, you will receive the same submissions. We will meet again in 3 months. We rehash all the goings-on of the previous 2 years, or do we maturely move forward? The neighbours down the road that actually sold the lot themselves realise that they have relinquished ownership, and we move to save ratepayers many thousands of dollars to reach a solution. From my point of view, the cost of reapplying, whilst the pain, is negligible, and the outcome, whether determined by council, the panel, or ultimately the courts, will be based on the facts and not fictitious assumptions of a few. Thanks again for the opportunity to present to the panel today. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Smith. Questions, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I've got a question. I've got a couple of questions, actually. It's particularly in relation to the siting of the shed, the location of it.
Yep.
I'm looking at it from a perspective of why would you go for non-compliance in its positioning and the only having the 1 metre setback directly under quite a large stand of trees, which is something that I'll sort of bring up in a minute. But why not actually, if it is contentious and it is difficult to cite, why not automatically go for the setbacks that are required?
Well, I will now. But initially, I was unaware of them, and I used a professional company that told me that they could actually, you can actually do that. And I it was in line with my other shed, and I was trying to minimise not only the impact to myself, but, you know, other neighbours. I already have a shed in that area, as you've seen, so it was really just replacing that shed, and whether I change the roof, it actually drops quite sharply there, as you would have seen, and that is why there's only one garage door at the top, because with it facing sideways, you can't have them all the way down. So you actually would look over that building where it is.
The nature of what you're replacing is much more substantial than the small buildings that are there.
Of course it is.
You made the comment that in passing that it would, if it wasn't in the location that you're proposing, it would be blocking your view. But I would sort of argue that perhaps the position it is now affecting someone else, because you're not complying with a setback.
Look, the perfect.
So the nature of, I guess, the question is why put it in that position? And it's quite clear from the discussions in the paper that the shed itself is just a very slight variation on what was put in before. So the other question is, and you did raise it about fit for purpose, was in your submission back to council, you outlined the equipment that you're going to be storing in the shed.
Yep.
And something that I noticed on site was that John Deere tractor won't fit inside the shed.
No, because it's going in the top
then
shed.
Only having one roller door. And as reference, this is a field that I work in, and I know that you have to outline how a shed works and what you lay out in the shed. I'd question your ability to get equipment in and out of this shed, because you'd have to move. If you want to get something out of the back, you've got to move every single thing out of the shed.
Yeah.
So I can actually see the reasons for the comments that are saying not fit for purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how a rural shed works with only one roller door and a substantial amount of brick work.
Well, many do, and I'll answer that by saying the shed that, I don't know if you looked in it, I only ever used one roller door on that one. So I've got the same size shed and I'm using one roller door. Now I did say this to Matthew, and I'm sure he'll back me up. The John Deere tractor is not going in that shed. It will go in the top shed. And it does fit in the shed because the roll bar actually folds down. The roof actually folds down. You just take out the two pins and it folds down. So the vehicles will be in the top shed. The things that I wanted to move into the bottom shed were things like my father's lathe. He does a lot of work for charities. He does woodwork and things like that. And the reason why the air conditioner was in there, there's a Greyhound walking machine, which I don't know if you saw in the other shed, which would be two times the size of this table. And I want them to walk in. I've actually got an air conditioner in that current shed where it is now, but it still gets too hot in summer. So those things are not going to come in and out. That'll just be at the back. And I use that walking machine probably for an hour and a half every day. The dogs all go on there for 15 to 20 minutes, morning and night. It takes three at a time. So everything is not going to be coming in and out, so, you know, and, there's a lot of things, you know, like air compressors, bikes, things that are motorbikes that are, don't need to be a lot of room to be pulled out, but I was happy to move to two doors, and I changed my plans to have two doors, you know, and the reason I didn't in the initial place, and I argue the plans did change from the first one, but it's still just a shed, and I just want a brick shed, well, because that was what I was told, and we have a lot of snakes around that area, like a lot, and I'm sure, like, Laurie will back me up with that, being a neighbour, and...
I think what I'd just put to you is that there's actually a list of things that say it's inappropriately sited or it's inappropriately designed. There's a flooding, there's the air conditioning unit, which is right on the boundary, so it's less than a metre, and it should be above the flood level.
Happy to move.
There's
all that.
The actual design of the building itself, and then there's also the setback. But then in addition to that, there's also the large stand of trees, which is on, I think it's your property, is that correct? Yep, that's... Matt Carter, is that right? Yep. That one of the comments that I'll be making to council, and the question is, has a as we'll ask that now, has there been a request for any arborist report or an investigation into the tree protection zone? Because it is possible that if you were to comply with a 5 metre setback, you still might be affecting those trees.
Can I respond to that?
Mr. Smith, may I also ask you why you would build a shed bigger than the rules? It's 100 square metres, you've got 113 square metres.
I'll answer you first, because I didn't know the rules and I applied a professional and I don't know why. The reason it was is because of the other shed and I said, make it the same. I just want the same thing moved down. Why would, for 13 square metres, I don't know why, you know, but I employed someone.
There's a rule, it's 100 square metres. And
I'm 113, yeah.
That's right. Justice, there's a rule about 5 metres back from the side, not
yeah,
1 metre.
I'm happy to change that, yeah.
Yes.
But
I believe council has been in touch with you and pointed out all these anomalies. And you do know about them before we got this report.
Excuse me, but that's what I addressed. I did get the report and I changed the plans. Did I not change the plans, Matthew?
Smith, I might just, if you just pause for a moment. That was a question I was going to ask, so now's probably an opportune time to just clarify that, because I did make a note that you said that you had amended the plans. The notes I jotted down were to reduce the shed to 100 square metres and remove the veranda.
Remove the drain. Remove some.
So I might just seek clarification, if you don't mind, regarding that.
So there was a couple of questions there. The first of them from Mr. Boone was in relation to the arborist report, and the answer to that is no. We've never sought an arborist report or anything of the like from the applicant, and the main reason for that being that council staff have never supported that side setback until we get to a point where we were to support the siding of the shed in a certain location. That was when we'd request any additional information that might be required to address those impacts, rather than having an applicant go to the additional expense of preparing reports and the like before we can support it on other reasons. The second question was in relation to the amended sketch plans that David did submit. So we received, I guess the most accurate description would be marked up sketch plans. These are the same plans that were submitted with the DA, but with markups in pen on the plan. These are the plans that I did show the panel in our prior briefing. The sketch plans from memory show an additional roller door on the side, the deletion of the patio, and potentially deletion of the air conditioning unit. But these are all sketch markups, not formally revised plans, and they don't address the two key DCP non-compliances, being the side setback and the floor area in total.
Good, thank you. Continue to pause for a moment. Yeah, no.
Can I answer one question just while it's on the tip of my tongue?
Yeah, okay.
The one about the trees, there is a DA already been approved by council to cut those trees down. Matt has already cut down some of the trees, and the rest of those trees that you saw, they are being cut down, and he was going to do that at Christmas time. Only I was away that week, and he was going to come through my property, and I didn't want people coming through my property at a time when I wasn't there.
All right, well, we might just seek clarification regarding that as well.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the panel members?
Well, just one question.
Just turn your mic on, please.
The proposal says that what you propose to put in the shared is a John Deere tractor, a finishing mower, box grader, rotary hoe, kayaks, a box trailer, a trailer pump, an air-conditioned dog trailer, and many other farm items.
Well, that's incorrect. The letter
this
that
is your material.
No, it's not. It's actually cut and pasted in the wrong, in an incorrect sequence, because what that is the items that I have that are not currently undercover storage. It's not what I said would go in that shed, and they're two different things. And again, clarification from Matthew on that, I'm sure he'll clear that up. But they are things that I want to get some of them undercover, but no, like the John Deere tractor, you're right, it won't fit in the bottom shed, and I wasn't going to put it in the bottom shed. I was going to clear that area, so I've got three doors to put things in, like I have an ATV, things like that, in those where the garage door is. Things I don't need to move, and things where, although I wanted air conditioning, a fan will do, would be where my dad, my father works. Like, it's hardly a workshop, one lathe doing stuff for, we lost a niece with SIDS, and my brother has cerebral palsy. So we do work for the Spastic Foundation. Hardly a workshop, you know, just one guy working a lathe, doing kids' toys, noughts and crosses type arrangements.
So, Mr. Smith, what appears in the report is, just to reflect back to you that I've got this, understand what you're saying, that you have grouped together all the things that you want to store, but they're not necessarily all going in the proposed shed. Some will go in the existing shed, and they'll all be stored within the two sheds.
And that's right. And the argument was from a submissor that I don't have any valuable farm items in you know, outside, and that was the argument. And the response to that was, no, I do. I have all these things, and I do want them undercover. You know, like particularly the tractor, like a box grader doesn't really matter, but in particular, you know, kayaks and things like that as well. Yes, I do. And I do have two children under two, 1 and 7, so I'm not going to have any less things to store moving
forward.
All
right, thank you. You've clarified that. Thank you. Any other questions?
Can I just make another clarification? Yes. You made mention earlier that you were going to be using this new shed for dog walking, dog trainer walking.
Yes.
And the application is for a rural storage shed, which doesn't mention anything about the greyhounds at all. And you know all the submissions are very much centred around the greyhound hobby. So I've actually got a question for council, which is, at what point do you consider the keeping of greyhounds a commercial interest versus a hobby? Because there seems to be a bit of ambiguity about that, and I'm linking it to the fact that you've just sort of mentioned that you are going to be using this shed for the greyhounds. So can I get some clarification on that?
Storage is one item.
You're right that there is, I guess it is a subjective matter. It's not an objective definition to determine whether something is a commercial operation or not. It's something that we, I guess, investigate and look at in conjunction with what the applicant gives us information and doing our own site inspections. It's a merit call. Some of the things that weigh into that merit assessment, the number of dogs on the property, how they're being used, whether dogs are being brought to the property to be trained or not, the nature of licences with the relevant, I guess, governing bodies like Greyhound Racing New South Wales and the like.
Okay, thank you.
There actually is what's deemed hobby and commercial, and I'm only a hobby trainer. I can only train dogs I own. I've never applied for a public licence, and that's all on record with the RNSW. At all times they have access to how many dogs I have on site. They do site visits.
The council officers have informed us about that this morning. They've made it clear to us that you are registered as a hobby owner.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the reason I raised the question was for clarification, because the documentation we have, and I think it's actually your responses to objections from the community members, was you outlined very clearly what was going to be stored in the shed, and it very clearly sits that it's rural equipment, farm equipment. But in sitting there, you have just mentioned that you are using it in some way for dog training, which is different to the submission documentation, and then different again today when you said, well, not everything that is being stored in that shed is going in that shed now. So there's a bit of ambiguity in what you're saying.
There's no ambiguity in my mind, but there is ambiguity because I pointed that out in my...
So can I clarify, are you using the shed for the greyhounds in any way?
I can put a walking machine in there, but if I don't have an air conditioner in there, no. Because okay. There's an air conditioner in the other shed. So I can use that. I have a kitchen in the other shed, and I use that shed. But, you know, at the end of the day, the only reason to have it down there is you don't have to walk up and down the hill, and it's protected from snakes. And we do have them in the shed from time to time. I've already had a few in the shed. So, you know, and part of that is, you know, and I don't know, saying to Matt, but if you look next door, all those trees have been cut down, and they haven't been cleared. And it brings a rodent problem, and I know there is issues with that. With the current tenant, that he actually rents the place out, and the tenant has raised the issue with the thing, and we do have a rodent problem. So, you know, I don't want them getting my kids or my dogs, so hence why I wanted a brick shed. But
look, thanks, Mr. Smith. There's a couple of other matters just need to cover. Firstly, early in your submission, you raised the question as to whether any staff member has any interest, any council officer has any interest and has had any, the implication that they've somehow had some influence over the assessment and recommendation for this application. As far as the panel is concerned, my responsibility as the chair is to ensure that there are no conflicts of interest in relation to the people that you see in front of you. Yep. It's the council's responsibility, and every council has the same responsibility that conflicts of interest are declared ultimately to the general manager of an individual council. So if you have some concerns about the behaviour of any council staff member, then you need to direct that to the general manager of the council, not to this panel, because I am not and we are not responsible for the conduct of staff.
No, fully understand. I have the letter here. It doesn't have...
You don't need to go into it.
Yeah, I don't know who it's from.
I'm not going to discuss it any further. That's the answer. Yeah. So if you have a concern, you need to direct that to the general manager.
Yeah. No, thank you for
that.
Okay.
I might just try and cover off on this issue. It may or may not be possible on whether there is a development consent for the removal of the trees potentially impacted by this shed. Now, I appreciate, council officers, you may not have ready access to that information, but is it on Mr. Carter's property that you're referring to?
Yes.
Mr. Carter, are you able to answer that? So all those trees that would otherwise potentially be impacted by this shed, you have a development consent to remove those, do you?
Correct.
Yeah, and that's active? Would you mind just standing up so we can hear you? Thank you.
Yeah, I believe it's it goes 2 years the approval, and it got approved, I think, last October.
Right, okay. Thanks for that. Flooding. That remains an unresolved issue, as I understand, reading the council's assessment report, the impact, and it's a recommended reason for refusal. That's not something that we could take any more advice on today, I assume. Can you just summarise? Would you mind just summarising the council's position in relation to the flood impact? Thank you.
And can I just request that we actually just confirm what the flood level is in relation to the finished floor level of the building?
Sure.
So in terms of flooding, to answer the first question about the relevant flood planning level, the relevant flood planning level in AHD is 72.3. Unsure what the finished floor level is of the actual shed.
Well, in the report, the outbuildings, RL 69.3.
There you go.
And that it's below the flood planning level and would be subject to inundation in the event of a flood.
So the flood impact statement was prepared on the basis that the building itself will be flooded entirely in the event of a flood, and that is to ensure that there's no loss of flood storage as a result of the development. The key remaining question in terms of that flood impact statement is how that flooding will be achieved, so we'll both allow the passage of waters into and out of the building, because it is also a key consideration as part of the structural certification for the building that it was able to withstand the force of flood. It needs to have sufficient measures that allow water to come into the building and leave the building, that won't be blocked or diverted or anything along those lines to protect what's contained within that building. The second part of the flooding question that we put to the applicant and forms one of the reasons for refusal is our flood risk management policy has certain controls about what can be contained within a building. One of those is that it can't contain any valuable goods or electrical items. So the reference to the air conditioner being an electrical item that's below the flood planning level forms one of those, and also the use of that shed and what it contains is the last remaining item in terms of flooding.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smith, one of the earlier themes about the location of this shed, if it was to be moved, that issue isn't going to go away.
No, I'm happy to move it.
Yeah.
And I've said that from the outset.
I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't. Yeah. I'm just saying...
No, I should, because it annoys the neighbour, so
but,
I will do it.
But you haven't, to the council's satisfaction, addressed those outstanding matters in relation to flooding. That remains.
Well, I actually have ROC Engineering providing further assistance on that, but this meeting come up. Matthew mentioned, yeah. I think his email says I'm under pressure to get this finalised. Well, for me, I spent $3,000. I don't understand the flood thing, right? I'm not a builder either. No, and I spent $3,000.
You don't need to respond to me. I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm letting you know.
Yep.
That is an outstanding issue. Yep. So regardless of where your shed is on your site, whether it's moved 5 metres or 50 metres or is in the same location, there is going to be a flood impact, both on the structure, and there will be a dispersal of flood waters. And both of those matters are, at this moment in time, not addressed to the council's satisfaction. Yep. So the reason I'm raising that is that it's a threshold issue to the point where even if, and I've no idea how the panel's going to, where the panel's going to land on this matter until we have the discussion, but theoretically, even if it was a matter of saying, all right, we'll move the shed 5 metres for argument's sake, that's not going to solve this problem. And that's an insurmountable problem, as far as I see, for today's purposes in making a decision.
Yeah.
Nothing further needs to be said.
No.
Okay. So, all right, thank you very much. That's been very helpful. Thank you, your contribution and the officer's contribution. We're going to, unless there's no more questions, we are going to briefly adjourn. You can resume your seat. Thanks, Mr. Smith. And... we will be back as soon as possible with our decision in relation to this matter. We'll announce that publicly here and then we'll move into the rest of the agenda. We'll try and be as quickly as possible, but I just don't know how long that will be. Thank you.
Thank you.